Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 86 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my pal Sean Orford, who's on his phone. Get off your phone, Sean. Who are you texting? You like to say?
It's my dentist.
Oh. This isn't a joke, by the way. This isn't a bit.
My dentist
is... What, you some treatment?
Just a check-up, really. You've got to look after your gnashes.
Yeah, I haven't been to the dentist in a long time.
Bad.
Yeah. It's one of those... I've never had a filling in my life.
Oh, well. Poke you in the eye. When I was a kid, everybody used to eat kind of sugar sandwiches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure dentists were paid money for fillings.
We get our sugar secretly put in, into everything we eat. We don't just sprinkle it on sandwiches. We have it in everything. It's in our bread.
But I've always been to the dentist. Go at least once a year, get them checked out.
I don't know why I stopped, really. Since I've moved out with my parents, because... They just kind of took care. I don't know. Do you have to pay insurance for dentist work?
You still get National Health Dentists.
Right.
Are you still signed on with a dentist somewhere?
I don't know. Probably. It must be, because I used to go to the same one all the time, up near Arrow Park.
I go to a dentist that's an hour's drive away from here. Uh-huh. And the reason I go and see him is because he's a god. He's an amazing dentist. And I had a split tooth, and I'd been to a load of people to try and get it fixed, and no one had recognised that it was split, and he was the guy that solved the problems.
Yeah.
So I've been to him ever since.
I figure I'll start going again, because Will's, obviously, your kids have got to go to the dentist.
Yeah, yeah.
So once...
And they need to learn to see you sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
This is Daddy being in the dentist.
Screaming. Yeah. I was always all right. I'm not one of those guys that's afraid of it.
I'm okay.
Out of the habit.
Yeah.
Hey-ho. We're not talking about dental treatment today.
We should be.
Although we are talking about fear. We're talking about choices, decisions, and the fear of failure.
Yeah.
One of our listeners, Nikki, emailed in asking us if we could discuss this. We are. I'm not afraid of the dentist, but...
No.
Something you got to do, isn't it? So
yeah.
That'll be one of the references we use.
Yeah.
Before that,
you got to do what you got to do.
Let it be known there is a blog post to accompany this, our podcast. So if you prefer reading to listening, head on over to liveinthepresent.co.uk to have a look at that and lots of other cool stuff.
As the bin lorry arrives,
it's grey bin day today.
Grey bin day, recycling day.
Is that nice and full? Have you got rid of all your Christmas wrapping paper and all that?
Yeah. We're good recyclers, Will.
Just stick the odd bit of plastic in there as well. Are you really?
No, we're good recyclers.
What about those envelopes with the plastic window? Do you put them in there?
No.
Do you not?
Are we supposed to put those in there?
I don't think you meant to, but we do.
No, I don't put them in there.
Oh dear.
No. Anything that's papery or cardery, I try and burn on the wood burner.
Yeah.
Which is probably seen as.
I think that's illegal.
Get off.
Honestly.
But if you roll up newspaper to start a fire, that can't be illegal.
Well, I think depending on the area, again, we're not talking about wood burning today, but I think on the area you live, if you're in a smokeless area, which our area is, this probably is, you're not allowed to burn anything that gives off fumes, which is everything except for certain types of logs.
So do you think that if you use copies of the Times to start your fire, it's a higher quality fire than if you're using
copies of
the Sun.
Subscription only.
I use the general paper stuff I usually use to start the fire.
Okay. We should move on, because as fascinating as it is.
Before the police come round and arrest me.
Head over to the website, livingthepresent.co.uk. Have you had a good week, Sean, apart from burning things you shouldn't and getting your teeth looked at?
Yeah, I'm good. The issues for me at the moment are about running or not running because of having damaged my leg, which takes me to an issue that you suggested. In part of my learning to run with Conrad, I started off using a certain brand of shoes, Mizuno's, which had been fine, but I was getting some toe damage because of the size of the toe box on the front.
Technical term.
And it was suggested I moved up to things called Brooks. trainers, which most of the pros use, apparently.
Wow.
Okay. And they don't work for me. They keep damaging my ankles. So I have a pair of size 9 Brooks running shoes, neutral running shoes, and they come in at about 120 quid. So I could flog them on eBay or I could do something. So I'm suggesting to all the listeners now, if anybody would like a pair of size 9 Brooks neutral trainers, make me an offer and I'll donate that money to a charity.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair dues. Fair dues, all right. We'll email in. We'll...
Yeah, they've been worn like half a dozen times, if that. Yeah. They are brand new. They're still shiny and white.
You know? It's still got your odour in there. Probably the value will just go through the roof.
I would think I could sign the bottom.
All right, that's fair news. Okay, emails in, podcast@liveinthepresent.co.uk if you want Sean's trainers.
Yeah.
Start low, you know, a fiver, you might get them.
It'd be like an auction.
Yeah. Have a good week too. Work's building up nicely. Weird thing about my son, my eldest, William, he's 3 years old, obviously, everything, stuff he says just makes me chuckle so much, he's hilarious, but he started talking, saying certain words as a southerner would, like he's saying bath and fast.
Oh, he's speaking properly.
And grass.
It's grass.
But then he'll put the other little scouse in there as well. When's it time for me bath, Dad?
She'd definitely be bath and past. So it's very British, though, isn't it?
We're trying to figure out where he's come from. But yeah, he's been saying it for weeks now, bath. I'm not putting him right, you know, there's no right or wrong, isn't it? I don't think it's CBeebies, because they have people of all different accents and ethnicity on it's the BBC, you got it right, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been spending too much time with him or he's been having language lessons on YouTube or something.
I think he's a damn fine chap.
We love him, he's cool, but it made me chuckle. Let's dive into this week's show. We had an email from Nikki, who's feeling a bit anxious and nervous about the decision she's making in life and worrying about the effect it will have on other people, her family. Review. I'll read that later. Yeah, okay. Don't worry.
Good.
We're talking about Nikki.
Okay. Hi, Nikki.
Where do we go with this? Because we all have a million and one choices to make every single day, don't we?
I want to start off with questioning the concept of failure.
I should mention we did a whole episode about this not too long ago, which we'll link to.
Yeah, so I want to just kick that back into this at the beginning, which is failure to me is in the eye of the beholder.
Yep.
I might consider that I failed. It's a bit like when Jack Canfield was trying to work out his ideas about the law of attraction and creating what he wanted, that he did this thing where he was trying to get $100,000 was his target. So he made a massive $100,000 bill and stuck it on the ceiling above his bed, so that when he woke up in the morning, the first thing he saw was this $100,000 bill. And he went for it. And at the end of the first year, he made something like 96,000. He didn't make the 100.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that some people would see that as a failure, but he saw that as a success. You know, okay, he didn't hit the target, and I think so often the things that we see as failures are actually stepping stones to success.
Sure.
Yeah. So if we start to beat ourselves up for the things that we don't achieve, we create a negative self-image.
Mm-hmm.
If we congratulate ourselves for the things that we do achieve, then it's positive.
Yeah.
So, and the ultimate thing being that when something goes wrong, it's not a failure, it's a learning point, because if I learn from it, it won't happen again. Isn't that a good thing? Well, that's amazing. Thank you very much. I've learned that. Off we go.
Okay.
Yeah? So I'm questioning concept of failure at the outset.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, I mean, that was part three. It was choices, decisions, fear of failure. Starting on point one there, choices. I mean, we are, as I hinted to at the start, I'm making a choice right now about what I say, because I don't know what the next sentence out of my mouth is going to be.
Yes, so, oh my God. Yes.
I know, Sepinaki could get me into a lot of trouble. But what I will say is that I'm saying something, partly because podcasts with silence don't tend to work out too well, but also because I have to, because I'm forcing myself to say something, even if it's not necessarily the right thing. Which, is that a good way of living, do you think, in general?
I think that we're all doing it. You just said it, you know, minute by minute. There is a huge difference for me, particularly from the work that I do, between male approaches and female approaches, because women tend to be the person who makes the choice to put everybody in front of themselves.
Yeah.
So that I see loads of women who in middle life are in a state of having looked after everybody, looked after kids, husbands, maybe parents, whatever, who are suddenly in a situation where maybe the last kid's left home or whatever, and suddenly they're looking at their life from a bit of a bereaved point of view, as in all this time has passed by, where they've been so busy attending to the needs of everybody else that they've never attended to their own needs.
Yeah, it's a classic top five regrets of the dying article on The Guardian, yeah. Which will... I should just link to it every single week because it's relevant to everything.
Yeah, it is.
Always, I wish I hadn't worked so hard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, if you find work that is, you know, well, if you find that path in life and it happens to be work that is worthwhile, then people wouldn't be saying that, would they? So.
But it's that thing I say to you about, I mean, we've talked about it before, it's like I don't go to work, you know.
Yeah.
You have the same kind of feeling, so you. It's like, I do what I do with my life, and it makes me feel good. And that is my life's work, if you like. I work with other people. That's what makes sense to me. So when I get up in the morning, I'm never in that feeling of like, oh, my God, I've got to go to work. It's like I'm getting up to get on and do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, life for me is quite a fulfilling experience.
Yeah, you're not just heading towards retirement, you're not counting down the seconds.
I can't imagine ever retiring, really.
Yeah.
I can't see that being as part of my makeup. I may change what I do and things like that, as I've done in the past. I mean, I've had several different kind of incarnations in this lifetime as I've changed what I do.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Well, you can, because you're probably one of the last generations that actually will be able to retire on a pension. Because... Yeah, flipping heck, I'm not gonna have any.
There won't be any money left.
There won't be any money left for pensions, so we'll just have to work till we drop. But you know, again, if it's rewarding work, then what's the problem with that?
Yeah,
my grandma's a good example of that. You know,
she's amazing.
80-odd, I don't know exactly. She's lost count. So fine. She's not been too well actually the last couple of weeks. She's a bit of a cold, which is she's been holed up in a house for a bit. So shout out to Beryl.
Yeah,
not that she even knows what a podcast is.
But have to get.
She knows
how
to do these funny little radio shows.
Yeah,
but yeah, great example, isn't she? Because she's actually just started back in work, inverted commas. But yesterday she kind of helps keep fit classes for the over 60s and stuff.
Yeah,
she can't actually get involved at the front anymore with like doing the star jumps and all that, which really frustrates her. But she still goes along.
But she's still a very fit woman.
Oh, amazing. Man, she's incredible.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, and I think that in some ways the concepts of things like retirement do create a mindset which becomes negative. But back to Nikki. One of the things that I think is real is that women tend to put themselves at the bottom of this list, and that because of that, there can be this perpetual feeling of failure, because there's no achievement of what I want. Yeah, and I get that a lot. Like I say, working with women, particularly when last kids left home, and then we're in a situation of questioning what it is I've been doing with life. Some women will see that as, okay, this is my turn now, and they will start to get involved in things that they've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Some women will see it as it's too late, you know, that they've lost life, as it were.
That's not a good lost place time, to
which
be.
Which isn't good, yeah. And one of the things that Nikki mentioned, reading between the lines, was the idea of if you're attempting to look after other people's needs and there's this other stuff that you want to do, that there becomes this conflict.
Yeah.
Between what do I do? Do I go and spend time looking after me and doing what I need, or do I spend my time looking after other people need?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and getting that balance right. I suppose we talk about work-life balance, but maybe we need to be talking about self-other people balance.
Yeah.
You know, and lots of people, but like I say, predominantly women, need to work that out. It's like, what is it that I need? Who looks after me? The amount of times I will say to women in the consulting room, what have you done for yourself in the last week?
Mm-hmm.
What have you done for yourself in the last month? You know, and it's like they look at me blankly, you know, the last 3 months. And sometimes women can't actually remember the last thing they did something for themselves.
Right.
It could be that, oh, 3 months ago I went out with some friends and we, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like on a weekly basis, and it needs to be at least a weekly basis, everybody should be doing something that is for them, that makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm. That's a good advice. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Schedule it in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that schedule idea... Actually stick it in your diary, you know, it's Wednesday night, therefore I do this. This is my night.
Yeah. Well, we'll mention the example that was given to us by our listener. We're bringing too much confidentiality here. I think Nikki wanted to start going to the gym or start looking after herself a bit more, getting more healthy. I'm not sure the exact circumstance, but I think she's a bit worried that by doing that she's going to be taking time away from family. And needs of the family, which I can relate to all that.
Okay, so think about it like this, right? This is my image. A woman in a family is like the tent pole in the middle of the big top. She holds the whole thing up. Yeah, 99 times out of 100, that's the way the script is. Yeah, if that woman falls over and the tent pole falls down, the whole tent collapses.
Are you talking about falling over on a treadmill at the gym?
Emotional fall, no, they lose it. Yeah,
okay.
Anything, yeah. But the thing is, that the woman, therefore, from my point of view, actually has a responsibility to the rest of the family or the rest of the group to actually take time out to look after themselves.
To make sure they
can hold the pole up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if you don't look after yourself and nurture yourself, you will not be able to hold the pole up, and then everybody will suffer.
Yep.
Yeah, so actually, by looking after yourself, you're not being selfish. You're actually working for the whole.
Everyone will benefit.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I think go to the gym. Do what you need to do to make you feel good so you can do the other stuff.
Yeah, and discuss it. Discuss all this these things with your partner, family, that kind of thing.
One of the problems in terms of change can be that everybody gets used to us being in a role. So, you know, that's your role in the family, you do that. And at the point where you say, well, look, actually, chaps, I need to change this, we need to renegotiate it, you know, can you actually put the stuff in the washing machine instead of me?
Mm-hmm.
People can react to that, but it's not my job. Yeah, and it's the issue of allowing other people to change as well. So we need to have some movement.
Yeah, yeah, it's about being able to see way down the road, isn't it? You know, when you drive, you don't stare at, you know, a meter in front of yourself and avoid stuff as it's coming, because you would crash all the time, wouldn't you? You're supposed to look way off in the distance so you can see the whole picture.
Yeah.
You guide yourself, or you use your sat nav to get you there, nice and gently. And you might take the odd wrong turn; it'll reset
or something. Recalculating.
Like this analogy I'm using, I'm getting
good.
Actually, I need to get some qualifications.
Yeah, I think you should.
The most insensitive therapist of all time. I can make a real name for myself.
Yeah, exactly. You could be famous.
I could be somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's right though, isn't it?
No, you just used an American accent to say that. Do you think that was offensive to some people?
Yeah, self-helpy kind of American guy in your face. Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Yeah, but I did write down as another analogy in terms of what happens if you don't make choices, if you just stall and don't do anything. You know, if I don't recommend doing this, but if you take your hands off the steering wheel while driving for like more than 2 seconds, you'll see yourself kind of veering off to one side, won't you?
But if you look at a pilot driving a plane, flying a plane, or a captain sailing a boat, yeah, they're aiming at a target. Right? They don't steer it. They aim it at the target, and the wind or the current is forever blowing them off target. So their job isn't to steer it. It's to keep correcting because of the weather conditions. So they have to keep correcting to keep on target. And I think that's what happens to us emotionally.
Yeah,
is that the emotions blow us off and we suddenly find ourselves going in the wrong direction or doing what we don't want to do. And what we need to be doing, and I suppose this is the point about making sure we take care of ourselves, is we keep pulling it back on target. We keep making sure that we are steering and going where we need to be going.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of car analogies coming up here. I've been watching Cars, the Pixar movie with my little lad,
because
he's got into that. A lot, and I've actually discovered that it's not one of my favourite Pixar movies by a long shot, but it's got some really good little messages in there. One of which is when he's driving, Lightning McQueen's driving on the dirt track when he's out in the sticks for a while.
Yep.
And he's having to learn how to drive not on tarmac but on dirt. Yep. And you have to turn into the slide, which turned left to go right, and he's like, that doesn't make sense, man, and then finally fix it out, you know.
Yeah.
I've had that in a go-kart, man. You go in sideways, you need to turn into it,
but that's like that in the ice, isn't it, if you're skidding.
counterintuitive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Counterintuitive, but you only learn through mistakes and making error after error, and it finally finally clicks. So, this is all about failure, isn't it? Just repeating, you know, sticking
at it. But that's the thing, is that are those things failures? Are the things that you learn from?
Yeah.
They're the learning points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that for me, failures are usually the stepping stones to success. So, they're not actually failures, they're learning points.
And that moves nicely on to decision part of it. I'm not one, I don't like people that faff and like take ages to make decisions. I'm a kind of like just do it and then live with the consequences or redirect.
But that goes along with the concepts of being a risk taker, and which leads you back to fear. You know, the fear of inactivity.
Yep.
But if you're a risk taker, like if you said to me, hey, I've got a ticket to go to Somalia tomorrow, do you want to come? I'd go, woo, and throw a load of stuff in a bag and I'd be with you. I know people that would take them a month to organise themselves to make sure that they were okay before they went.
Somalia, is that like north of Kenya, that one?
Yeah.
There's like war zone. Would you really want to go there?
Could be fun.
Could be a laugh.
Yeah.
Blast about, you'd be on the news within about 3 days.
Yeah.
Hostage. I wonder how much we'd be worth.
Not a lot.
Hostage-wise.
Not a lot. We do the podcast from Somalia there.
Yeah, well, we meet some interesting characters out there, I'm sure.
See, those are things. We could get a caravan out and drive around the world doing the podcast.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
That'd be a laugh.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get our respective wives?
No.
You need a good supply of electricity. I don't want to. Well, we don't want
to. Yeah.
Make our wives to be too shallow and. But
I don't think they'd be happy driving around.
Hair dryers, hair straighteners needed.
Yeah.
Electricity at all times.
Yeah. But we need electricity to broadcast. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. We'll plug in somewhere. Yeah. Let's think it through. Let's think about it. And decision and fear kind of going hand in hand. So, what are people really afraid of, though? Is it public perception? Is it? It's failure, isn't it? That kind of thing.
If you say to somebody, there are three questions that sum a person up. First one is, who are you? Which people give a cognitive description. If you say to somebody, how do you know when people like you or love you? You get an emotional description of their connections. And if you say to somebody, where do you place your security? It tells you about their fear mechanisms and their safety mechanisms.
Yep.
And it tells you about their behaviour, because all people do things that move towards safety and they avoid things that move towards threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the issue about fear comes down to security, what makes you feel secure. Yeah. And people will construct their lives around avoiding the fear factors.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many people will not move far away from where they're born for fear of the newness or the change or
what's on the other side of the what's going on the other side of that hill or the other side of that river.
So they'll stay where they are. You know, better the devil you know kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was born in Newcastle, but I basically grew up on the Wirral.
Yeah.
And I'm back here, living here, you know, a couple of miles from my parents where I grew up.
Yeah.
Lovely, safe part of the world. But you, man, you fled the ghetto, didn't you?
Yeah. and just went. But, I mean, the thing is that when you travel, we think of travelling in our society as you get on a plane, you're picked up, you go a few thousand miles, you drop down again somewhere else, you know, a few hours later. If you're travelling either on foot or in a vehicle not moving that fast, maybe, and you're acclimatising as you go along, you know, you acclimatise to the bacterias and the food so that you don't get the deli belly problems. But you also acclimatise to the people and the change, because each time you stop in somewhere for the next night, especially if you're on foot or you're in trains and things, that you're starting to feel this change of society and culture and attitude of people as you move through. But it's a gradual thing.
I got that even just when I was cycling last year across Scotland.
Yeah, right.
The Highlands there, just amazing. I mean, cycling is just the best way to get around.
Yeah.
Just because you see that gradual change. And
yeah.
We started west Fort William or south of Fort William. And, you know, you did notice the change as you went across. And then, you know, we kind of cycled through Balmoral. You know, mm-hmm. obviously aware of stuff that's gone on there and obviously the kind of regal sense.
Yeah.
And then as you got onto the east coast or near the east coast, close to Aberdeen and getting closer to Dundee, that kind of thing.
Oil country over there.
Yeah, you can sense a real change, not just in the geography, but in the just the atmosphere, the people. Mm. You know, they were fantastic right the way across. Mm. But
and the thing about travel is that unless you do that, you do get the nuance of change. Mm. If you're picked up in an aeroplane and dropped down thousands of miles away, you miss the bit in the middle.
Yeah. So in terms of life change, as my phone goes off. I've got a meeting after this. It's better to do things gradually, would you say, rather than going cold turkey and just making huge changes?
If you go back to our initial work on living the present, the issue is to make a change, it's 30 days, 90 days. It takes you 90 days to change. So that if someone wants to develop the habit of I'm going to go to the gym, say, it would take them 90 days to create the habit structure to make it normal for them to go to the gym. But everybody that they live with has 90 days to accommodate their new attitudes to allow you to go to the gym.
Yeah.
So that very often when you're trying to go through that process of change, it isn't just you you're trying to change. You're trying to change all the people around you as well.
Right.
And maybe that's the important thing, because if failure is tied up in the way that we are seen by other people or we're letting people down, what we've got to do is we've got to coach those people or nudge those people into being able to change their attitude structures to allow us to do what we want to do so that they don't see it as we've let them down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that if you're going to change you, think about how the you change is going to affect other people and then work out how you're going to get them to change. So that makes your life easier then.
Good degree of preparation needed.
Yeah.
And decision-making. Yeah.
And working on that idea about there's a consequence to what I do, and I want to make this consequence the consequence that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any choices in life you wish where you've taken a wrong turn, or you think you've taken a wrong turn, or done something differently? Like, spring to mind?
The issue is about, you know, it's like the regrets thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's things I could say to you, like, I would like to have been in a position where I didn't leave home at 15 and I'd gone to university and you know, had done things then. But then had that happened, all the other things that had happened wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
So I don't tend to look back from the point of view of feeling like something's gone wrong. I tend to look at it from the point of view of, wow, what an amazing experience it's been, and what am I going to do next?
Yeah, I was trying to think before of things where I don't regret them as such, but I just kind of interested as to where I would have ended up.
Yeah, if that had happened.
Yeah. Because there's a point when a person could have taken a full-time teaching job in London. Down by West End.
Yeah.
Know, that's that near? Were you?
No. That's north.
Okay, excuse me.
I'm south of the river, man.
Sorry, mate. Yeah. And that would have meant living in London, which is a whole...
Yeah.
It's just a little universe of its own, isn't it?
Yeah.
Part of me kind of wishes I'd just given it a go and just done it for a year or two or whatever and seen where it had taken us. But by flipping heck, I'm not complaining because life's pretty rosy, really. I mean, at the same time, I applied for a job after uni. Not too seriously. I just sent an application off to Pixar
because
I was going to get into animation at one point.
Wow.
And sent my CV off to them and got a nice little reply basically saying it was on the database because it wasn't a job in particular. Mm. It was just like, here I am.
Mm.
Never followed it up really, but it's like, wow, imagine working for Pixar and living in California, and gee whiz, that would be cool. But again, it's not regret, it's just, ooh, I wonder.
I think that there's a part of you that is very attracted to California.
Mm.
And maybe that's something that you need to be planning in for the future.
Well, I'm getting Will into his films early, so my plan is to either have him a race driver, so he's a Formula One, so that's my route in, or a film, some like job in film, so he'll have a pad over in California.
Yeah. That you can go and stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. Just living my dreams through my children now, that's basically.
So do you have any sense of failure if you look at your life?
Big time, man. I'm a classic underachiever, really. I don't worry about it. But, you know, I learned early on at school, because I went to a good school, you know, where we kicked out a prime minister. Harold Wilson went to my school, etc. Yeah. So, you know, high aspirations, but I learned early on that I could get away with quite, you know, doing the minimum amount, so scraped through in the end.
It's weird that, you know, the amount of people that I know who are anxious about getting, like, a first and a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe for some people that floats their boat. I've got my different degrees. No one has ever said to me, what kind of degree did you get? I mean, did you get first, second, third? Yeah. It's like, you got a degree. Yeah, and but it's some internal process, isn't it? You know, I have to achieve a first. And if I don't achieve a first, does that mean I'm a failure?
Mm.
As opposed to, I'm okay, I've done what I've done, and it's all right. Yeah.
I've always kind of expended the minimal amount of effort, really. A bit annoying, really, because who knows where. But, like, I'll never run for a bus if I see it. I'll just wait for the next one. I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to be look like an idiot and run for that bus. And have the door shut in my face. I'll just, you know, I'll avoid the embarrassment and wait for the next one.
That's interesting. If I need to be on the bus, I'll run for the bus. If I don't need to be on the bus, I'll wait for that. You know what I mean? It's one of those. It's relative for me. but it would never occur to me that I might look like a tit running down the road, therefore I wouldn't run down the road.
My brother can relate to that. I'm sure I've had a chat with my brother about that in the past. Yeah, my brother, well, he's not the type to run for a bus either. Just wait for the next one.
Yeah. It's to do with where I'm going and what I want.
That's got you thinking, hasn't it?
Yeah, if I want something, then I'll go for it. Yeah. I'm not embarrassed about going for it.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got to summarise now, but I like the idea of, in summary, kind of, life's about balance, isn't it, in balancing what our dreams are. Because you can do anything in life now. You can go to space if you want. With balancing it with your moral obligations to your friends
and family. But the thing to avoid... Two things to avoid. One is never attending to yourself so that you end up in a situation where you get to middle life and you're thinking, I've wasted my time. That's a bad place to be. Mm. But the second one, and this really is an appeal to women, because I don't think men tend to be in this situation, although I'm sure some are, but it's the thing about, if you don't look after yourself, you can't look after other people. You have an absolute need to look after yourself every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're not doing that, build something into your life that's yours.
Yeah.
That gives you that sense of value and lovely feelings of looking after you. Yeah?
Cool. All right, I like it. Yeah, don't beat yourself up too much, eh? You talk about, like, navigating by the wind and having to steer into the wind a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of, like, you've got this, the universe is just this rush of energy, isn't it? And you can either fight against it or you can kind of go with it a little bit.
Go with the flow, man.
Yeah.
Go with the flow and correct.
Yeah.
Like the pilot, just keep correcting the direction so that you are going where you want to go.
Have you got a resource of the week?
Well, I'm going back to one that I've used a few times because I think it is really relevant to the kind of things we're talking about. And it's called The Attractor Factor by Joe Vitale. The link's up there. But as a book, what it does is it makes you question different parts of your life so that you can hone down into something that's actually going to work for you.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's good because it makes you work with it.
Cool. Yeah, great book. I'm going to mention a book that I got for Crimbo for Christmas. You know, I like books about people that, you know, inspire me. One of them is Danny Boyle, film director.
Right.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, right, yeah.
28 Days Later.
Yep.
Sunshine. Under. Like, that's one of his favourite movies of mine. A book called Creating Wonder, and it's a series of conversations with him. You know, he's this guy from Bury, you know, working class lad and all that. But he's. So I like the way he kind of recognises his roots. But he's just gone out into the world and just done some amazing things. Did the opening, or produced the opening ceremony for the Olympics, which.
All right, well.
It's pretty incredible.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, have a look at that book because you know when he got the Oscar for Slumdog Millionaire, Best Director, you know he was on stage in front of probably a billion people and he mentioned his parents and the social club in Bury where he knew they'd be back home watching and he gave him a shout out. You know, it's like I like that sense of
you
go and do amazing things but you don't forget where you come from. And all.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. That's good. Yeah,
well, cool fellow. Really likable guy.
Yeah,
have a look at that. All right, next week we're going to talk about memory.
Right, if we remember.
Because my brother-in-law and dad were chatting about how they can never, or they struggle to remember people's names, and it's kind of annoying. So I was thinking we could do one about memory, about some little tips perhaps. So we can research that and see how we go. I think it'd be quite interesting, eh?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, cool. Show notes and links on the website, livingthepresent.co.uk, everything we've just mentioned, investigate further, blog post by Sean, lots of cool freebies. Buy our book as well if you wish. It's a top notch bit of writing by Sean. Look, well designed by me, I might add.
It's a work of art.
Yeah. Leave us a review on iTunes if you can. I did have one to read out, but I'll do it next week. Run the review, which is cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, take care till then, eh?
Okay, look after yourself.
Cheers, Sean.
That's it. Bye.
Bye.